front desk.
Good morning and welcome to episode 74 of the Cracking Backs podcast with your hosts, Dr. Terry Wyman and Dr. Spencer Barron. How are you doing this morning, guys?
I'm doing good, Lance. How are you, bud?
Hey, Lance. Good to see you, man.
Good to see you, too. So today we are joined by Dr. Sean DeClout. Dr. Sean graduated from Parker University in 2009 and founded CME Spine and Wellness in 2012. Dr. Sean treats a ton of extreme sports athletes and high-end artists and all the way down to your everyday man. How are you doing this morning, Dr. Sean?
Good morning, Lance. How are you?
Doing great.
Good.
Wow.
Good to see
such energy there, Sean. You know, it's like, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm trying, boys. I'm trying. I got the vid, the COVID caught me.
Yeah, so. Yeah. That's just a California term. Yeah,
people are still getting that stuff.
You know, like I said earlier about, I went to my high school reunion, 30-year anniversary reunion, and so far as of this morning of taping, over 20 people have it. So,
Oh my God. Yeah,
pretty good. Anyway, from just mild, like I have mild, you know, mild case of it, to some people are pretty sick, you know,
remember when they called that a cold?
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty much what it is. It's a flu. I was just going to say that, you know,
I'm not laughing, but yeah, I remember when they called that. Yeah. Oh God, a lot of people got sick from a little cold. We partied a little too hard.
Exactly. Well, first, I think we all thought we were hungover on Sunday. And then by Monday, we realized, oh, maybe we're not hungover. So, but
hungover? Yeah. I mean, it's a high school reunion. I didn't know they actually allowed alcohol at those things, right?
Well, you know, we went to the church on Sunday. No, kidding. There were some people reliving their youth quite heavily.
Oh, there you go. Oh, God, love it. Y'all love it.
It was a blast. Hey, it was a blast.
I got to dive into some pretty cool stuff because, you know, you fly under the radar. A lot of people are like, who's this Sean DeClout guy? And, you know, you fly under the radar, which is one of the things I totally respect about you. And because you treat some of the biggest names in both music and the extreme sports world. And for those who don't know what the extreme athlete is, especially those from Florida, extreme athletes are like X Games guys, you know, motocross guys, the crazy guys that people watch and go, those guys are just nuts, jumping off cliffs, skydiving, all that, you know, do tour, bicycle, BMX, all that kind of stuff. And so you're kind of like, I refer to you kind of as like a speakeasy doctor. You know, a lot of people don't know about you, but the people that do know. And so, yet one of the biggest stars you probably have ever worked on is your own son. You know, he has cerebral palsy. And I don't think even people out there, the general public, would never think about a chiropractic guy working on a cerebral palsy kid. And they never put those two together. Can you tell us about that journey of how you became a chiropractor and got into cerebral palsy?
Yeah, well, I became a chiropractor. Kind of a crazy story. I got hurt as deputy sheriff here in Ventura County. I broke both legs bilaterally and I herniated a disc in my back. I lost my train of thought. T12, L1, herniated disc. And I had quite a few like real bad symptoms. I had quad equini syndrome. At 20 something years old, bowel and bladder issues and a lot of other issues that come with that. Which was very, very, very stressing as a young man. And at that time, I got hurt, and shortly thereafter, Trevor's mom became pregnant. And Trevor's birth was very traumatic. He had the umbilical cord wrapped around his head a couple times, and his whole head was bruised. And it caused him to have an in utero stroke on the right side, fourth ventricle on this side of his brain, he had a brain bleed, and it it partially paralyzed his left side. And they told us he wouldn't walk or talk. So why I was home sitting with him to give myself purpose, they had just started online school. This is now, Trevor's going to be 20 in July. So this was over 20 years ago. They had just started online school at this place called DeVry University. And I said, well, you know, it's something to do. And I got on, I started doing schooling. And I applied to this terrible school on the hill here, Pepperdine Law School, and I actually got in. And and I got in, and I was so excited. And I went to my chiropractor to get my adjustment. I got into law school. I'm so excited. My chiropractor, straight face, looks at me and goes, nobody likes a lawyer. You know, if you do what you do for me, he goes, look at my lobby. Look how many people you've sent to me, you just referred to me. You'll be much happier and have more money. Now, I don't know about the more money, but I'm much happier. I love my job. But so from there, he's like, I'm going to set you up. I'm going to call Mr. Carl Cleveland the third up, and I'm going to send you to a tour of Cleveland Chiropractic College. And I went, I think it was on Thursday. Friday, I registered. I started on Monday. I did 2 years of undergrad because I'd start over. I had undergrad ready for a law degree of some sort. And so I did 2 years of undergrad in a year, and I started my journey shortly thereafter that. And once I got into chiropractic school, my first trimester, they would bring speakers in. The students were very active about bringing speakers in at Cleveland Chiropractic College. And they brought in this gentleman, I can't even remember his name, but he came in and he was from Bakersfield, and he was talking about upper cervical chiropractic, Blair upper cervical chiropractic specifically. And he was talking about this guy by the name of Drew Hall. And they were talking about him and about all the things he did and how, you know, people roll in wheelchairs and walk out. And I was just like, I'm going to try one student. I have no clue. I'm like, you know, I thought we were just here for back pain. What do you mean? You know, I had no clue the power of chiropractic at that point. So I went home and I told Trevor's mom, I said, hey, I'm going to go check this guy out. And I had a group of students that we hung out with together, and we all would go to this guy's office and literally watch people rolling on a wheelchair and walk out. And I couldn't believe it. So our semester break came up, and I said to Trevor's mom, I said, hey, we're going on our vacation. On our way through, let's stop at Dr. Hall's office and let's get Trevor adjusted. I'll get adjusted first and I'll try it out. So I went and get adjusted, and the Blair technique is very, very soft. I mean, like that. No lie, that's the adjustment. And I was like, did something just happen? And I went and laid down, and I did. Something did. I felt a little bit better. So my ex-wife came in and said, well, how do you feel? I said, well, yeah, I don't know. It was very gentle. So let's go ahead and have Trevor do it. And it's very old school. They adjust you and then you lay down, just like BJ Palmer did. He had a room full of beds, and you went and laid down in that bed for 15 to 30 minutes. So Trevor gets adjusted, and all of a sudden, Trevor, forgive me. All of a sudden, he has diarrhea through his diaper two times. His mom is ready to just strangle poor Drew. And I'm like, hey, Drew, man, you better come up with something good to tell her why, you know, you just adjusted the baby. Now he has diarrhea. For people that don't know, a hemiplegia, which is somebody that's paralyzed from the right side, they tend to get constipated because that's the end of your digestive tract. And Trevor would tend to get that as a baby. And so we would adjust him and it would go away. So I told Drew, that's a good thing. I was like, that's just not going to fly. You need to talk to her. I said, I can't be a witness to your death, so I'm going to go back in this room and lay down. So he talks to her, mellows her out. We get in the car and we leave onto our vacation. And Trevor used to, like, if this was his bottle and he had to bring it to his mouth, he would have active assist like this. You know, he would hold it like this. And I look in the back of the mirror and he's going like this, and checking it out and looking at it. I'm like, whoa, that was the first thing I noticed. He was using his hand more. We got to the place we were staying, and he pulled himself up, which was not unusual for him to pull himself up. And then he turned around and kind of cruised across the room, which was like, wait a minute. And after that, now he doesn't stop, doesn't stop talking, doesn't stop walking. and has lived a full life. At one point, you know, there's a picture of him right over my shoulder here. There he is riding his Velodrome bike. At one point, he got third place in nationals for a couple different classifications in Velodrome and third place in road racing, which is kind of like the Tour de France will be coming up, I think, about the time this podcast goes out. Kind of like Tour de France, they do a time trial and then they do a road race, and he got third in both of those. And so, you know, and he also used to race BMX too, you know. So he had a very successful career, and people just don't know. I mean, honestly, at that point, I didn't know. And you hear in school, you hear about all these miracles, and you read about them in the green books and everything else, and you don't see it. And that literally convinced me to stay in school, because I was literally going on vacation to decide, hey, man, I got a kid that's going to need a lot of help in life, and I got to go get a job. I can't be a student. I got to go make some money. And it really was pressed on me to do that.
Sean, you know, let me allow the audience to really connect with this whole concept of chiropractic. And even I didn't realize how it can have a profound effect on cerebral palsy. Approximately 18 million people of all ages have cerebral palsy worldwide. And a statistic I found really really appalling is, or just frightening, is that 764,000 people in the United States, including children and adults, have at least one symptom of cerebral palsy. And then 10,000 babies are born each year with cerebral palsy. So my question to you is, you know, coming from a place of cynicism, which I've always had that element of curiosity, what is it? Do you know what it was that allowed chiropractic to have such a profound effect on your son? Would you be able to explain some of that?
In Trevor's case, I believe C1 was just so torqued onto his brainstem that it just caused pressure throughout his system.
He had the umbilical cord around him too. Is that what you
around,
said?
Yeah, around here. Yeah, he had a brain bleed. So in all the science in the world, upper cervical chiropractic or chiropractic should have helped. And during this time, I was still getting treated by, I hate to call it us, regular chiropractor and not an upper cervical specialist. You know, at the time, I didn't understand there was a difference. A chiropractor is a chiropractor, right? And now I've learned, you know, and we're going to see it more and more. We've got people that specialize in different things. You know, the three of us specialize in sports, but we treat everything. But some upper cervical doctors only just C1, C2, maybe C3, 4, maybe, but usually they're up in the top, right? But back to Trevor, it shouldn't have worked because his brain bleed was up here and the adjustment was here. It relieved the pressure of the brainstem, and I believe that's what helped him. Now,
that's
prior to that, he was getting adjusted by a regular chiropractor. He would get his neck adjusted, and I would see the drooling out the left side stop. So my thinking as a try one newbie to chiropractic, well, if a regular chiropractor is adjusting his neck and making the drooling stop, what does an upper cervical specialist do? And boom, look at what we got. And it was very pinpointed, very accurate, very meticulous.
That's fantastic. What other, now, you know, people associate chiropractic with low back and neck pain. And obviously that's where all the research seems to qualify and quantify our effectiveness as chiropractors. But, you know, we have a really interesting circumstance here, and I'm sure quite exciting for you. What other things evolved for your son as time went on through, whether it be chiropractic or the fact that he became more active and, you know, exercising and things like that? What were some of the other things that seemed to have resolved?
Well, I also treat several other CP athletes. I have another athlete that's actually made it to the Brazil Olympics as a javelin thrower. His name's Cody Jones. He's local here in Simi Valley. For me, Cody Jones and his family was a blessing because his father was in the Sheriff's Academy before me. So I got to watch Cody grow up and go through what we went through with Trevor. And they almost are a mere twins. They walk the same, they, you know, everything. And the biggest thing you see in a cerebral palsy or a hemiplegia patient is you see a reduction of tone. So like, you know, like Trevor and Cody's left arm is always so tight. We adjust it, we'll see a decrease. Now, will it be like, oh, this is tight, and then it goes to this? No, it may go, and I'm showing him my hand. I forget we're also recording this. You know, his hand is tight, and then his hand is loose. It's maybe just a little bit looser. And that movement in that level of athleticism is huge, you know, huge, because you can't, they can't take any meds. They can't take any muscle relaxers or anything, because those are all performance enhancing drugs at that level. So, so to answer your question, in Trevor's case, he would ride his bike. When he rode his bike, it would keep his feet would turn, his left foot would turn in. So it would straighten his left foot. Then he wanted to be clipped in like all the other kids in BMX. Now, BMX, when we were kids, we had pedals and we didn't have fancy road bike pedals that we snapped our feet into. And Trevor just wanted that so bad. And so I figured out a way to get him some, I got him some soccer cleats and I put a clip on there. And we got him clipped in, so we would clip his left foot in, get him up on the gate, he'd get his balance, and then he'd clip his right foot in. From that, I noticed a huge difference in the way his feet turned and straightened up. And his hand, his body would just relax. And the more he rode, the better he would get. And then when he moved on to road bikes and velodrome, even a huge difference. He didn't have the difference. You would see the difference in muscle size from right leg to left leg. You didn't see that. So you saw a lot of different really cool things. And in BMX, I really didn't modify much on his bike other than his clip shoes. We had to be very specific on how we turned the clip and how we lined it up. And then we found a company that made adjustable cranks so that the cranks would they'd have two pieces. They slide in on each other and slide out and be longer or shorter. And we found if we had his right leg at a normal length and shortened his left leg a few millimeters, because he couldn't quite straighten the leg out because it was stiff. Now he gained more power and more of that. And then as he got older, he didn't need that. It pretty much became, quote unquote, a normal kid. And same, you know, with Cody, you know, I adjust him very differently and very specifically to that. And they're not the only paralyzed person I've adjusted. You know, my best friend, Russ, is a quadriplegic. I adjust C1, C2, and get rid of his neck pain. Supercross privateer Colt Neck, which is a patient of both mine and Dr. Terry's. And he was tragically paralyzed at Dallas Supercross, and he fought back and raced Supercross. And I went on the Supercross tour with him. Amazing, amazing young man. Now he's racing in the Work Series, in the desert, and just doing amazing. And this is all through chiropractic. And why does chiropractic help this? It's because we take the pressure off the nerves and allow the body to function.
Sean, I want to back up for a moment, because I think it's absolutely important that this isn't just your child that has found some resolution to a condition, but you mentioned your friend. So this is just an arbitrary, you know, oh, it's my kid thing and I'm paying special attention to it. No, you found something, or you are part of something that is bigger than what most people are aware of. And those parents who have that last ditch effort need to identify and understand that, you know, what you're talking about, and from what I understand, is that, you know, the brain of a child has plasticity better than yours, mine, and Terry's, you know, and
yes,
it, and
yes,
it can remap and reshape and reform. And, you know, teaching you, me, or Terry to juggle would be a challenge, but teaching right. a child, they could pick it up like that. So what you're saying is enormous, not just from, you know, removing vertebral interference or anything like that, right. but also from really allowing the nervous system to exhibit what it has, the potential, reaching greater potential.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And even
no,
down
no, no, to just,
the, Sorry. We got a delay. Sorry.
Go ahead. You go ahead, because I'm going to come back to the bike pedal thing that you were talking about.
Okay.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I got to learn. I think this and this I'm supposed to watch for. I heard the secret. No, what I was going to say, even down to like, look, I can't promise you that what's going to happen to Trevor is going to happen to your child. Have I delivered that to somebody else? No, but I've improved the kids' lives. You know, I've treated several kids. There was an article that came out in Texas about Trevor when I had a practice in Texas at Lakeview Chiropractic. I had a practice there and it came out and I saw a couple kiddos there and I helped them out. But the simple thing for a family with a child that has disabilities or whatever, if you help one little thing, like in Trevor's case, the constipation would have been huge. That was just a huge issue that improved his life, you know? So you want to talk about the pedals?
Yes. You know, that is really, it should be a metaphor for a lot of other things that you can do. So let me just refresh this thought you had, or this, what you were sharing. And that is you change the pedal distance because one leg wouldn't straighten out as much. And then as time went on, you know, it actually did what you would expect it to do. By retraining and repetitively doing over and over again, suddenly he gains more length to the leg, not necessarily length to the bony structure, but length to the muscle, nervous integration, you know, all the
brilliant,
you know, you did that by accident, but man,
What happened on that is there's a local gentleman, John Grimes, who used to have a trailer that went to the BMX tracks and eventually started his own bike shop. He's now retired. And he's like, hey, Sean, I know about these pedals, these cranks. You think they will help for Trevor? I'm like, dude, I'll get them. And as we're standing there talking at the BMX track, another dad goes, hey, man, I tried those to save them. You want them? I'll sell them to you. And we bought them for $100. And it was just like it meant to happen, and we put it on there. And as he got older, John worked with Trevor, and then when he transitioned to road bikes, John's son Keith would ride with Trevor all the time. And then finally, Trevor made it onto a team called this Encino Velodrome, which was sponsored by Sirius Cycling, and they would adjust his bike. I mean, lasers and all sorts of just crazy stuff. And help him. And then they would have me film him when he was riding. And you could see the difference from him being twisted one way with his hips to the right. And then you'd see his whole body. They change just a little thing. This guy, Scott, that owns Sirius, like changes a little thing. And you'd see his hips rotate to the center. And it was pretty amazing. The people that just came together and helped him. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
I got to ask this question because I'm thinking to myself, for those, you know, most probably 90% of our listeners who have no concept of cerebral palsy, can you just back up and tell us from the start, what were your son's, what were the conditions that he exhibited due to the cerebral palsy?
Well, he wouldn't use
in the beginning.
In the beginning, wouldn't use his left hand. He also, what sent the doctors into looking what was going on is he wouldn't thrive. He would forget to breathe. And at one point in the hospital, we went in to see his mom. He was with his mom and he stopped breathing. I grabbed him and the nurse froze. And thank God I was taught, you know, infant CPR. And I started doing infant CPR as I'm running back to where the babies go. And then they immediately put him in ICU. That was the first clue. And then they did the ultrasound of his brain and they found the blood clot. And that led us down that journey. And then as he got older, we would just see different things. He would roll instead of crawl. He couldn't move very well. He couldn't move his arms. And his hand was always like a fist, you know. And then, of course, the drool out the left side was constant. And then we finally, you know, we would go to our pediatrician and he kind of treated us like, oh, you guys are first-time parents. It's no big deal. And it's no big deal. And then finally, when we got to the neurologist, and he was very spastic. So in that means sometimes the symptoms were very minimal. And sometimes they were very like, oh, my God, something's wrong with my child. And we finally got to this doctor, neurologist, Ronald Baum. And he was like, no, man, this kid's got cerebral palsy. This is da-da-da-da-da. And then we went down to our pediatrician, and our pediatrician shut his whole day down and just took time with us to help us. But they told us, you know, don't, you know, someone like me too, who's into sports, you know, I gave in and had back surgery so I could play catch with my kid. So to me, like, they were like, yeah, you know, don't expect your kid to do sports, this, that, or whatever. Well, you know, as Lance likes to say, effing crazy, we're going to play sports, you know, and, you know, we're going to play sports and we're going to do whatever. And don't tell me my kid can't do anything. And, you know, now he's going to be 20 in a couple weeks here, or actually next week, this week while we're filming, he's going to be 20 on July 2nd. And, you know, he works in at an x-ray place, scheduling appointments, and is thriving.
You know, so, Sean, I got to go back to it. The stat that Dr. Spencer said in the very beginning of this, like thousands of people with cerebral palsy and all these disabilities, why don't you think, where's the disconnect between parent, MD, chiropractic? You know, we need to be working together at this. And what questions can a parent with a new child that it has a disabled ask? And who do they look for? How did your journey of interaction go?
When we went through it, it was very frustrating because I was learning information as a student and asking questions. And then, of course, I was in the chiro bubble of school of Cleveland Chiropractic. And I mean, we were, you know, trying all sorts of different things there. And of course, I was still getting treated. But for a parent, you just have to be diligent and ask. I think a lot of people don't realize, they see all these videos on TikTok and Instagram of people just blowing up people's necks, boom, boom. And they're like, I don't want that to my baby. And you explain to them that, you know, some of those have been modified. The pop isn't the adjustment. The adjustment will happen whether the pop happens or not. And it's not painful. And when we adjust a baby, it's very gentle with your hands just barely pushing on a baby and you're pushing it. So it's our job. And historically, chiropractors, we failed as a collective group to get out and market ourselves. We wanted to be so different, so bad, we wouldn't market ourselves. Well, you know what? There's a lot of things we can help people with. And, you know, like I said, can I, you know, if you have a cerebral palsy kid, you bring them to me. Can I promise you I'm going to make that child walk if he doesn't walk or she doesn't walk? No, I can't promise you that. I can promise you'll see some sort of improvement in their daily living. I promise you that. And with just about any illness, we can help people. And we as chiropractors need to get out more and tell people more that we can do that. And I have been, I guess, not as good at telling that story. You know, in the years have gone by, I don't like to use it as my marketing. As you know, Terry, I'm very private about a lot of things, you know, who I see and whatnot, and what I get to do in my office. So, but yeah, we definitely as a profession, we need to get the word out.
So let me ask you, you know, we're talking about all the magnificent experiences that you discovered to help your son, but you know what? That must have been extremely challenging for you emotionally, and you know, to you know, have a brand new child that you find out has CP, and then what do you do? And what were you going through? And how did you, you know, keep yourself positive through all that?
Well, honestly, my ex-wife, her sister is severely special needs. And we came along, and when I met them, she pretty much didn't walk, didn't ambulate. And to me, I wasn't even a doctor yet. I was like, this isn't right. She can't walk. What do you mean? And I just started playing with her and she started walking. And I really think, you know, and I don't want to get too religious, but I really think God puts you in the situation that you need to be in. And I believe we were handpicked for Trevor. You know, his parents, you know, his mom's a little more straight towards the medical side and I'm more the other side. And we kind of meet in the middle. She kind of let me run with Trevor for a long time. you know, and we, you know, we got some huge results with him. But really, I think for us, it kind of stressed us out a little bit. And, you know, for me as a man, it was a little more of a ego, like, you know, everybody wants their kid to be in the varsity, whatever, you know. And guess what? My kid was varsity lacrosse, you know, as a CP kid. He was one of the best in the United States. You know, Sarah Fisher, the most decorated woman cyclist, coached him. You know, so those accolades go there. But you know what? You turn out to be a great kid. And that's what's important. You know, but as a parent, I think we were handpicked. So it didn't, it a little bit at the beginning, but not so much, because we were pretty much had the determination because of my my sister-in-law, Brenda. My ex-wife and I were really prepared to be Trevor's parents.
Wow. Hey, Sean, when you have a parent that has a child born or has a child at 3-4 years old, and they're hopefully been referred to this podcast, what's the first step? Because I think the love of a parent is going to always look for to help their child. What's the first step that these people need to look for to try something new?
Well, the first step is you need to find a chiropractor that's comfortable adjusting a kid. Not all chiropractors can adjust kids or want to. I started at Cleveland Chiropractic. I finished at the Holy Grail of Texas chiropractic schools, Parker. and there, you know, I was lucky enough at both schools, I was taught how to adjust children. And I can't even remember the lady's name. And I actually learned how to adjust on Trevor. Cause I have some days I would bring him into class with me cause I didn't have a choice and have a babysitter or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's step one. You need to ask the right questions. Can you adjust a kid? Have you adjusted kids? Do you adjust kids on a regular basis? Then you know what, if they do adjust kids, most likely it's kind of cute. So they're going to put it on their social media, you know, and if you go through my social media, you'll see, I have a whole family. I've adjusted the little brother. Now I adjust his twin sisters and you can see them on my page and you can see, you know, multiple kids and I've adjusted, you know, some kids since they were very young and, you know, so yeah, you just got to find and ask the right questions of, do you adjust? Do you adjust regularly? So, you know, and the simple answer is if the chiropractor is looking you in the face and says, I adjust my kids, that's not the one to go to. You want to go to one, yeah, I adjust kids all the time. I see them all and they're confident in their if they only adjust their own children, you know, go to someone who adjusts more kids. And you can look them up. I think it's ICA has a list of trained chiropractors.
It's as a testimony to what you're saying, you know, when my two boys were born, yeah, I could have adjusted them. Man, I called a chiropractor that I worked with years earlier. Her specialty was pediatrics. So I had her come to the house. I had her adjust, you know, Hunter and then Heath and all that, because it's truly, you're right. It's a specialty. And there's so much, just like with Terry and I in sports, you can't just be, you know, you can't just call yourself a sports chiropractor. There's a whole bunch of education to get you much more sensitive and intuitive to things that go on with an athlete or a child.
Is there some special training for disabilities? Like, is there chiropractors that specialize in CP or is there chiropractors that specialize in disabilities?
I don't know. I've never even looked. I kind of got out of school and went in my little bubble and hustled, you know. I never even thought to look. I'm curious now.
Wasn't there like a hospital in Oklahoma that was really big on
Oklahoma
disabilities? Yes.
Yes, Oklahoma. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, that would be something cool. I mean, if I had a kid to CP, that would be how hard does it take a plane trip, you know, and to have some of these experts look at it? I mean, sometimes we get stuck in this bubble. We listen to one opinion and that's the opinion we use for the rest of our life. And yeah, you know, with disabilities, you can't do that. There's gotta be experiences out there such as yours that people can look for. And I forgot about Oak Haven. I mean, they're really a powerful group.
Yeah, I totally forgot about them. Years and years ago when I was in school, I reached out to them when I was living in Texas. And I remember talking to the lady, I can't even remember her name now. And she invited me up there and just life happened and I never got up there to go. But it's pretty much, if I remember correctly, they're an upper cervical specialty and they help kids all the time. So yes, there's that. I forgot all about them.
I hope you don't mind. I got to rewind a little bit because it's just burning my curiosity. Tell me, what condition or conditions did your sister-in-law have that made her so severely disabled? And what did you do? Because I think that needs to be really highlighted for a moment there.
She had they call Wolf-Hirschhorn's disease. I didn't treat her at all. I just played with her.
Yeah.
And I played with her and then I would hold her hands and get her to walk. And now she's much older and she's cruising. Her disability was, very severe. I mean, she has to be fed and stuff like that. And she has to be helped with going to the restroom still at this age. And they told, I remember when I met my ex-wife and met Brenda, they said, oh yeah, they told us she wouldn't live past this, I think it was 4 or 5, and she's still going and she's in her 30s. I believe. Yeah. She's late 20s, early 30s, and she's still cruising around, and sweet as all, can't talk, but definitely lets you know she loves you when she sees you.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, I'm going to switch gears a little bit, but you're on this. You treat a lot of like these, and I'm going to use the word extreme athletes because Spencer doesn't know what that means. So you treat a lot of extreme athletes, and they're a lot different than the athletes that right. Dr. Spencer, the stick and ball athletes, and so and they have a different mannerism. And the first thing people
very think calculated,
they're
yeah.
crazy, and they're not. They're calculated, and how do you treat them different than you would your sick and ball athletes? And for the doctors who have never worked with,
well, for me, you have to form a relationship. They got to trust you, because if you, most of these guys walk into an office, hey man, I jumped 200 foot on a dirt bike and I crashed. Okay. You're done. Sit down. Don't ride. Peace. They're out the door. They're not waiting for you to get it. You have to reach them where they're at, and and once they have that trust in you where you can say, hey, you need to get off the bike for a few days, a few weeks, a few months. That's where you're successful as a doctor. Cause these guys, that's how they make their living, is showing up and doing these shows and ramp shows and whatnot and being on their motorcycle. Same with the supercross guys. I worked a ton with privateers. That's my love. I love working with the privateers, which are guys that do not have sponsors or don't get money from the major manufacturers, Honda, Suzuki, Kawasaki, Yamaha. They don't support these guys. These guys buy their own bikes, pay their own way. And those are the guys I like to help because they're chasing their dream. And same thing, if they don't ride and they don't make that night show, they don't make enough money to live that week. And, so you have to be, they have to trust you. And it's a different level. You can't come in and be, hey man, all these books I read, I'm smart. They don't care. They want you to know. They want to know you can get them better. They're going to be able to ride. And if you say don't ride, they won't ride because they trust you. And some of them, as you know, and you and I have a couple that ping pong between us. They'll try to ping pong between me and you to get one of us to say, go ahead and ride. It doesn't work so well. It doesn't work because we're kind of one on the same. Mm-hmm. But the big thing is trust. But those guys is trust, so.
Yeah. The other thing I found is pain level. I mean, you get a stick and ball athlete and they'll complain that their wrist hurts. You get a extreme athlete and they'll come in with a broken wrist saying it's fine. Just give me a little
tip. No. I'm going to disagree with you on that. And no. I have treated some National Hockey League guys from other parts of the country. They come in from Russia, Czechoslovakia, Romania. These guys are animals, man.
That's a puck. That's not
whatever.
A ball.
I thought that was a generalized statement.
That's a stick.
Balls. Stick and ball.
It's hit with a
stick.
So
you're talking about
stick
and ball, not stick and ball. Are you talking about baseball players?
I'm wrong. Well, I'm not. So all athletes are tough. It's a mentality. So I'm not saying these guys are tough. So let me rephrase my statement because I don't want to offend the stick
ball. Stick and ball. So all, is it hockey? Is it baseball?
True. It's a different mentality.
You know,
right?
Sometimes you're right, Terry. It is a different mentality. For the most part, you know, it's trust. I mean, some of my baseball kids come in and their shoulders are just tore up and they're like, I got to pitch tomorrow. And you're like, is that really important? You're not going to sign with the Yankees tomorrow, but let's get you feeling better before you do that. And then when I get into the pro ranks, yes, I have a couple guys, that are in NHL. And those guys are kind of the same, man. They walk.
Oh, I'm in a hole right now that I'll get so many texts after this that, my phone's going to blow up. So I'm going to admit it right on the air that I spoke before I thought. So, because I'm going to offend every of my athletes that are my stick and ball athletes that are going to tell me to effing off and all that kind of stuff. My point was all these guys are tough, but it's a totally different mentality. Extreme athletes are very fragile, but they're very tough. But I think what you said was right. If they don't ride on Sunday when the film crews are going, they don't make any money. And so they're scared because they a lot of them can't take that time off to heal because they won't make that paycheck.
Well, I had,
what about
I had
rodeo riders?
Fear factor.
They got to be the toughest. They by far.
Come on now.
I don't care what anyone says. If you hate me, stick and ball or moto guys,
totally.
You got nothing. You got nothing on rodeo, dude. Those guys, dude, their arms hanging off.
No, hey, doc, right.
Can you just put some tape on and fix this?
Yeah, can you fix this? Yeah, I had a guy with his face blowing apart, and he's like, can you squeeze and staple it? I just have to do one more ride, you know?
Yeah.
So you're right. And I think a lot of the trust is huge. We had a mental skills coach, and a lot of people didn't know what he did. And his number one advice was he just became their buddies and built their trust. And I think that's what I was looking for, and you did it right. I think these athletes have to build trust with you in order to open up and expose that weakness that they have this big – they're like soft in the inside, but they have this armor on the outside. And in order to show
they don't want to ever show that weakness, they have
to trust
ever.
You. And
– No, and one – like a perfect
– No, they
I'm
can't.
Sorry, go ahead.
What's the biggest misconception that I think these athletes –
Like you said earlier, they're crazy. They don't
perceived.
Know what they're doing. And, you know, who's going to – you know, like, you know, Travis Pastrana is a perfect example. People are like, that guy's nuts. Dude, that guy reads quantum physics books and can – you know, and does the math and he figures it all out. It's not just like you see on TV where they're like, pin it, bruh. You know, they're figuring it out. You know, same thing with, you know, my buddy Colin Morrison, Scummy from the Metal Militia, one of the original guys. You know, I was on set with him where we filmed something with him and a guy named Kobe Raha. And it was the first time he jumped 200 foot dirt to dirt sober. Because these guys get hurt and they got to ride. So the MDs will just write them these scripts and get them hooked on opiates. And, you know, it was the biggest thing I pulled up and here he's gone. I was, you know, and he went off and he come down and he was shaking. He's like, oh my God, do you see it? He goes, this is the first time I was ever sober and did it. And it was, you know, some of the things like that are pretty impactful. And people don't realize these guys will do whatever it takes to ride. And if they trust you, if you let them ride, like some of these MDs are like, here you go, pop them like candy. And I know that's calmed down a lot lately because it's been enforced, but a lot of these guys will ride on opiates to be able to get the job done.
And people think that they're fearless. And I'm like, oh no, they have a ton of fear. And if you think these guys aren't scared doing this stuff, you're wrong. It's because they're terrified, but they're so calculated. They've, I think Travis one time said he always weighs the risk versus reward and has it calculated down to the percentage. And if the percentage isn't in his favor, he won't do it. People don't see that side. They don't see that how calculated these guys, and that's why the trust is so important, because they have to trust you to lower that expectation. Yeah, well, and a perfect example is,
you know, right now I have a guy, he's in Texas, he's training. He broke his arm in Anaheim, which was March, I think it's Anaheim 2, which is Supercross. He had a metal plate in, and we treated it and treated it with PEMF, pulse energy, and we just couldn't get the bone to grow in there. And then, but then we found out from the surgeon that it's okay. He's got the metal plate and he's riding right now with gap in there with that metal plate, and he's riding and doing well, you know, for a privateer, he's getting top 20s and making money and living his dream. But, you know, that's the fun part, is you just get in that little bit, you know, and I've said it before that, you know, I get joy out of helping the professional athletes. I get joy out of helping the entertainers get on stage and entertain us. But my biggest joy is working with high school kids and middle school kids and getting them to the next level, which is possibly a college degree or, you know, maybe their way to the pros.
So, okay. I love how you're bringing this, you know, this why to the table. Why do you do this? What pleasure and joy? We're going to wrap up here, and I want to leave the audience with, what is it that you do to keep yourself happy and driven and motivated, even when sometimes the chips are down? Anything in particular off the top of your head?
Well, you know, I have two boys. I got Micah and Trevor, and I spend a lot of time with them. Currently, I am spending a lot of time learning about lacrosse and lacrosse injuries with Micah. He's playing lacrosse at the local high school here at Simi High, and I get to do that. That's a lot of fun. I go ride my dirt bikes with my son, Micah. We go ride dirt bikes, every once in a while I'll ride my street bike with another crazy doctor, gets times messed up. I don't know who that is.
That would be Terry.
And, I'll go ride my street bike here and there. That's my biggest joy. But, you know, then the other thing I do, people think I'm crazy, but if a kid comes in my office, a high school kid or, you know, any kid, I try to find out when they're going to play. And if I have nothing going on, you know, I make a point of going to their games. You know, and it's like, oh, you know, Dr. Sean's there. I'm like, man, I'm just coming to enjoy you, man. Just play. And I really enjoy that. And this year I really made an effort to do it. My staff did it. And we just had a great time doing it. That really is a lot of fun, seeing the kids perform.
So with that said, as a photographer, sometimes I'll go and I'll shoot some of the events that the patients are in. And I see something very magnificent. It is not only seeing them in their element, but when I see a frozen image of biomechanics, it's very revealing. And sometimes I was able to treat them more effectively the next time because you saw the alterations, and that was by accident.
Oh, wow.
Do you ever notice that when you go and watch any of the athletes or your own kids, that something may be off that you could fix?
You know, this year I really got in close with the rival high school to my son's baseball team, and I treated a lot of the kids. And one of them, Drew, I noticed he had some stuff going on with his hips, and when he was in the batter's box, his lower hip was down, so he was popping up. So when I adjusted him, he was, you know, right leg short. Sure enough, I adjusted him, got him leveled out, and it took care of it. I never even told him. And then when he watches this later, I'm sure he'll call me up and go, you didn't even tell me that. And, you know, I just treated him. So yeah, you're right. You can see things. It's a funny thing. People always get on me. Why do you people watch so much? I'm like, man, look at that person out there walking, you know, and it's even worse in sports. You really do see it, you know?
Yeah. Big time.
Yeah.
No, that's great. I appreciate that. Terry, you got anything you want to mention before we wrap it up?
The only thing I want I want to circle back and just finish with this. You got into this profession, and then what changed your life was your son with cerebral palsy. And there are thousands of people that would never, ever think of going to a chiropractor when their child has a disability. And the average listener has heard of chiropractors helping athletes, has heard of chiropractors helping this, but they probably haven't heard chiropractors helping disability. What is your final word of advice to a new chiropractor coming out?
What about an old chiropractor?
A parent with a disability. An old chiropractor. Yeah, anybody helps here. I've already burned my bridge with 90% of my clients with the whole stick and ball thing. So I might as well just keep on that same path and burn my thing with all my old chiropractic friends too. So
the chiropractor.
See this phone? I'm just throwing it in the toilet now, so I can't answer back any of
my. I will post Terry's new phone number on my social media. You'll be able to get a hold of it. No problem. But no, for incoming or new chiropractors, the biggest thing I could tell you is, as we joke about the phone, is the phone. Look at my phone's blown up. Is the phone. Get a phone number. Never lose that phone number. Put some notes in there on who they are and what they are. You never know when you might need that person. You know, 13, 14 years ago when I met Terry, I never thought in a million years that he would help me with Trevor's concussion. He would help me get through school. He would, you know, hey Terry, I got this tough case. What can you do? What would you do? So, you know, and for young chiropractors, people forget the key of networking and meeting people in person. You know, if you rely on social media as a new or an old doc, hold your breath. You know, that's like hanging your shingle on the wall and hoping somebody sees it, comes in and sees you. Get out in the community, go see people, you know, just yesterday of this taping, Terry was at a little local music thing with one of his patients playing. And those are things that are important. You get out and I see it and go, oh, Terry's out there seeing a YouTube band. That's really cool. You know? And then every once in a while, you know, I do the same thing. I put stuff on there and then every once in a while, oh, boom. Hey, by the way, I'm a chiropractor. And if you really want to know more, go see my chiropractic page, but I go out and I see people and get out in the community a lot. Really, you know, marketing has been my blessing. You know, I've been kind of good at it. I mean, I started with a small upstart, while I was in chiropractic school called MX Sponsor. That's really how me and Terry met. I helped Tyler Wyman get his first sponsors. And then, and that taught me a lot of marketing. A lot about the online world. So, I mean, it's different. Even for me, 13 years in practice, what I was doing 13 years ago to market is here. And there's some days I feel like I'm on a little bit of an island and where you don't know where to go. And you know, Terry and I have been talking and we're doing something locally for us where we're inviting chiropractors to come ride their motorcycles or bring their nice cars or just meet us for coffee. And what we call it, Kairos and Coffee or something like that. Yeah, Kairos Bikes and Coffee to get together so we can market and do that. And I'm probably going to work on a Facebook page and start inviting Kairos so then they can do it in their area. You know, like, you know, in Florida, maybe you can get a group together, Doc, and, you know, exchange ideas because we are on an island. On our own because it's different. Like with CP, how do we tell people I treat CP without making promises? You know, how do you get out and tell people, hey, if you sprain your ankle, come see me. You know, everyone goes to orthopedic. Come see me if you want to get in the game in 2 to 3 weeks, not 6 to 8 weeks. You know, come see Terry. Come see you, Doc. You know, we need to get together as a group and start letting people know the things we do because we're getting kind of shoved away. I mean, it's been about 10 years, but yesterday I had a patient call me and was telling me she's a personal friend of mine, her orthopedic cervical surgeon who wants to do surgery on her neck said, stay away from the chiropractor. He will give you a stroke. I was like, was he a young guy or an old guy? She's like, he was a young guy. And I'm like, give me his number. I need to call him. He's got bad information. And that's where it's going to start, is little things like that. So,
well, I really appreciate it. And that was a fascinating, fascinating story. And well, we're ready to wrap it up. And I thank you so much. And good luck with everything in the future and your sons and all that stuff. I love it. Super dad. Super dad.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Crack and Backs podcast. We hope you enjoyed, and make sure you follow our Instagram at Crack and Backs podcast. Catch new episodes every Monday. See you next time.